John chapter 3, and we're going to read two verses, very familiar verses. Mostly everybody in this room should either know this scripture or have heard it. John chapter 3, verse 16, and we're going to read just two verses. I'm very grateful for our music team. Amen. And those of you that say, I would love to be part of that, want to see Pastor Charles, and we'd love to have you come in. We have more room for you. John chapter 3, verse 16 and 17 reads, For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Father, we love you, God. We're so grateful, Father, for your word, and we're grateful this morning for your presence. We can feel the presence of your Holy Spirit in this room. We pray, God, the anointing, God, that I pray your anointing be so strong upon me this morning. You speak to your people. Speak to every ear, every heart, my God. We love you. We thank you. We give you all the praise and glory in Jesus' name, and everyone said. Turn to somebody and say, he went from the manger to the cross, and you can be seated. When I think of John 3:16, I think of a lot of things. But one of the things I think of mostly is I think of salvation. I think about how God sent his Son to this earth to come and die a very humiliating death so that you and I could have everlasting life. So you and I who deserved something different would get all that God had. Because when he gave his all. He didn't give a portion. Like, you know, some of us, we give a little portion at work. You don't give your all to work. Sometimes you give a little bit all to your marriage. You don't give your all to your marriage. Sometimes you give a little bit to your church and not all your all. Sometimes we give a little bit to our community and not our all. But when God gives, he gives our all. Everything. He gave it all. He gave his life. Greater love has no man than this, that he would lay down his life for his friend. God gave his life for us. And that ought to excite us. That ought to make us excited. You know, when I think about salvation, I thought a lot about my salvation this week. In fact, I kind of gave, even though I've shared this with Nikki Cruz many times, I've talked to him about, he knows where I come from. You know, he put my father and I in his book, Give Me Back My Dignity. He's written 17 books. 9 of them are what do you call them? The bestsellers? New York Times, they're bestsellers. You know, he says, what a bestseller you have to sell 500,000 or more. Run, Baby, Run has sold over 14 million copies. Well, I don't know how many Give Me Back My Dignities have read, but I know this on page like 86 or something like that. It says there, in the notorious streets of Albuquerque, New Mexico, there was a man by the name of Dan Sanchez and his son, Danny Sanchez. Fellow drug addicts. Drug dealers. And he goes down and talks about our testimony, how God changed our lives. And I thought to myself, how grateful I am to be in even included in something like that. If you haven't read the book, you should read it, because it's Nikki Cruz's perspective on Victory Outreach, on what he saw, how Pastor Sonny started the ministry and how I went through the ministry. And so spending time with him this week and hearing them talk about their early days all week long, from the moment he got in the car, you know, he just celebrated his 80th birthday. He don't want to admit his age. He said, don't tell nobody my age. He goes, because I look still handsome. He told the Holmes, he goes, you guys are all jealous of me. They're all looking at him like, he's crazy. He goes, you're all jealous of me because I have a sexy voice. And I look young, he says, like that. And we're all like just rolling and laughing. Because like, this is like our spiritual grandfather, you know what I mean? And he's so hilarious, but he's so anointed. And he was talking about this. He was talking about what I want to talk about today. He was talking about his conversion. But what he couldn't stop doing is he couldn't stop honoring Pastor Sonny. Well, we're in the car for days, and then that night that he spoke, he did it again. He couldn't stop honoring the fact. He says, you know, Sonny, he goes, I just got back from Times Square Church. And Times Square Church is where David Wilkerson established his church. After in the 50s, when he went to New York City, and if you know anything about the Cross and the Switchblade, when he reached Nikki Cruz through that gang rally, and he got saved, everything took off for David. David Wilkerson Pastor Sonny told Nikki, he says, Nikki, if God wouldn't have saved you, David Wilkerson would have been a preacher of a small little church in Pennsylvania. But Nikki's conversion changed David Wilkerson's ministry. He has a ministry called, well, he went home to build the Lord, but his family is taking on what we call World Challenge, which is a huge ministry all over the world. Also, the Times Square Church is an international ministry. And so think about what the Lord has done through David Wilkerson. But Pastor Nate said it wouldn't have happened if Nikki wouldn't have got saved. And then I begin to think, Nikki Cruz beat on David Wilkerson. Nikki Cruz spit on David Wilkerson. And Nikki Cruz, even after he got saved, was crazy. They were telling stories about they used to steal David Wilkerson's car. Pastor Nate goes, well, he goes, one time, he goes, we took the car. They donated a car in Chicago. We went from New York to go establish Teen Challenge. Because, you know, Pastor Sonny was the first drug addict, and Nikki was the first gang member in Teen Challenge. Nikki said this, there would have been no Teen Challenge had it not been for us getting saved. But more so, he says, we were just reaching gang members. When Pastor Sonny got delivered, he goes, it wouldn't even happen. He goes, because he was the first one, and it was revival. And so this last Sunday, they invited Nikki and Pastor Sonny to be at the Times Square Church and to minister, but Pastor Sonny could not be there. He had a situation he was taking care of at one of the churches. And so he couldn't be there, but what they did is they were honoring them that day, and they were saying, this is what the Pastor Conlin, who took over David Wilkerson's ministry over the Times Square Church, he said this, he said, if it were not for Nikki Cruz, and if it were not for Sonny Argonzoni, he goes, we wouldn't have Times Square Church. So now we're over here saying, God, we're so grateful for our ministry and for our leaders. We're so grateful for all that. And them, if they wouldn't have been there, if they wouldn't have got saved, and where would we be at? But then here's a guy that is not even connected to Victory Outreach in that way. He is connected spiritually, but not in that way. And him saying, if it wouldn't have been for them getting saved, he said, we wouldn't have Times Square Church. And there'd be no World Challenge. And he went down the line. There would be no Teen Challenge. None of those things. And he brought the light out to them. And it made me think about, I told Pastor Sonny and Nikki when we were driving, I said, we were sitting down eating. I said, look, if you guys wouldn't have got saved, if Nikki, if you would have not got saved, if David would have gave up on you, and if Nikki, if you would have gave up on Pastor Sonny, because Pastor Sonny was rough, and God needed a guy like Nikki to take care of Pastor Sonny, but he even left. You know the story. He left, and Nikki went and found him. And Pastor Sonny's getting ready to fix heroin again. And he went to go pet the fellas, and Nikki went out at 2 in the morning and went and found him. He could have said, I'm leaving that guy out there, man. It's on him. But he didn't do that. He went after him. He found him, and he got him, and he pulled him back to the house, to the Teen Challenge house, and he got him there. And I want you to know that if he wouldn't have went after him, but if that wouldn't have happened, I told him, if you wouldn't have been obedient to the call of God, if you would not have got saved, he says, where would it have left my father in 1981? Where would that have left myself in 1987? What would have happened to us? We wouldn't be alive right now. I'd be dead or in prison right now. My father would, I know he's passed away, but he would have died younger. He would have died in sin. I want you to know something right now. I said, I'm grateful for both of you answering the call of God. And I thought it was a privilege to be able to say that to them personally. Like I said, he's 80 years old. Pastor Sonny's getting that same age. We don't know how long we have them. But I do know this. I do know this. They're on fire now more over than they ever have been. Here, the favorite disciple, according to what he writes, John, says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believed in him would not perish but have everlasting life. What words to pen under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost? What words to pen so that years later, even today in football games all over the place, you'll see somebody with a John 3:16 sign, because we know what that means, that he came to the world to save it. But I love the second verse. We very rarely do hear people quote this verse. But he says, he didn't come to condemn the world. See, I don't preach. If you know me, if you've been under my preaching for any number, I don't preach a condemning message. But the message we preach here is very convicting. And sometimes people can get it mixed up. It's easy to like mix it up if you're not ready. Or if you have a beef with God, or if you have a beef with church. It'd be real easy. You'd feel like, oh, talking to me and they're putting me down. And not at all. In fact, Pastor Sonny, the reason he told us, the reason why he left the Teen Challenge home when he was only there a month is because he felt like David was singling him out. He was talking about sinners and this guy and that guy. He goes, and I know he was talking to me. So I couldn't handle that. He was too rough and I had to leave. And then David told him, he wasn't talking to you. Don't think you're so... He was talking to everybody, man. But think about it for a minute. The gospel can cut to the heart. This message, that even the scripture can cut to the heart. Because immediately we start to take it personal. Even to the point where you can't even say Merry Christmas and people get offended. Oh, we can't say Merry Christmas because, you know, we don't want to offend people. No, you're offended. You're offended at Jesus? But that's the way it is. You know, every time, you know, and now if you go to Starbucks, you know, if you go to Starbucks, and when, you know, they ask you for your name, they got to put it in the cup, just tell them my name is Merry Christmas. Because they won't say Merry Christmas there. Their founder, their leader is anti-God. Yeah. And so he's anti, he don't care about the Lord. He wants your money. That's all he wants. He wants that $7 for a cup of coffee when you can get it for a dollar at McDonald's. Hello, somebody. But anyway, another Bible study, that's a different message. But when they do that, you could say, give me a name for your cup. See, yeah, my name is Merry Christmas. That was when they call out, Merry Christmas, Merry Christmas. Your coffee's ready. Oh, that'll be me. Christmas is an awesome time of the year, man. It's a time where we look back and we reflect to over 2,000 years ago where a baby was born in a manger. And I know theologians and philosophical people and psychologists and everybody, historians and everybody, they begin to try to decipher and they begin to try to cut between everything. They're going to say, well, by the way it looks, it could have been August and it could have been April and it could have been this. And I'm like, who cares when it is, man? My wife makes bizcochitos in December, so that's Christmas time. Who cares when it was? I'm glad it was. I'm glad that it happened. And I'm gonna stick to the way things are. Well, it comes from a pagan this and pagan that. I'm gonna tell you something right now. People that say stuff like that usually have something hidden in their closet. They usually have some other agenda. I've noticed that people are real self-righteous and people that are real, real, real like everything's wrong. They usually got a little wrong inside of them. So you're better off just kind of being humble, because when you try to be like with everything, usually you won't admit it, but usually you got a little something hiding back inside there. You know, that's, you know, you got that little eye, you got that inside here, you got that little thing that, you know, that you don't want nobody to know about. I'm thankful for the season. It helps me get through the cold too. See, as Christians, we ought to enjoy Christmas more than anybody. When Christmas comes, man, we ought to be like, hey. Because it's a good time to be able to reflect and remind people about the love of God. It's a good time to show in your giving to people. You know how you give to people at work, and they're like, don't give me nothing. But you give them, and you love them, and you give them something, and it just cuts the ice. It cuts everything. Amen. It cuts all that stuff they got in their heart. In other words, I'm telling you, don't be a Scrooge. How many of you enjoyed Scrooge last night? I'm telling you, we've been doing Scrooge for over 10 years. And last year was the greatest one we've ever had. Man, if you missed out, I don't even feel sorry for you. That's your own thing. I'm telling you right now, if you knew about it and you didn't come, you missed out, man. It was so powerful. It was so good. This place was packed out, by the way. It was a good showing of people. We had an amazing cast. I'm telling you right now, I don't know how they do it, but every year they get better and better and better. And Pastor Pat and their crew and the audio and visual and all the servers and all the food. The food was great. Oh my God, we had pollo de Cuba, right? Pollo cubano, and I don't know, but that food was delicious. The mashed potatoes, everything was great. We had a great time last night. Awesome time. Just wanted to say that. And we had a silent auction, and every single item on the auction was to purchase. That's the first time that's ever happened. Usually they come and say, Doris will come and say, hey, Sister Barb, you know, we have all these items left. Everything was gone. I'm like, really? I want to commend our church. You guys did an awesome job. Amen. We ought to be the most excited. See, this is a time for us to usher in the light to our people at work, to our family, to those that are going through things, and they forget what Christmas is all about. Christmas is to get us back to a place where we realize why we're here and why God came to this earth and why He changed our lives. Listen, this is the hope that we have. We have the hope in our hands to be able to carry it to the world, to carry it to your job, to carry it into your family, to be able to carry it to your neighbors, to carry it to everybody we have. Why? Because Jesus Christ died that we might have life. And when you have the message of hope, you can't hold on to it. You've got to give it out. He showed us how to give it. It blows my mind how people curse and do all kinds of things when it comes to Christmas. People don't want to hear about Christmas. I think they don't want to hear about it because it's a love story. And sometimes people don't want to be reminded of that love. They don't want to be reminded that God has it all under control. They don't want to be reminded because you know why? Because we want to have it under control. Like I said, people don't want to say Merry Christmas. They want to say Happy Holidays. And even that might be a little bit too not PC enough. Everybody know what PC means? Politically correct. We don't want to offend any one group. Well, how come I get to get offended all the time? I'm a group. I'm a group of somebody. And people say stuff about my God all the time. People say something about my Jesus all the time. So during Christmas, I don't care if people get offended or not. I'm going to say, Merry Christmas. Happy Holidays. Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas. Feliz Navidad. Yeah. Christmas is the first great miracle of the Christian faith. There would have been no resurrection, no cross, no Easter without the birth. Come on, somebody. It is a doctrine often taken for granted in our circles of Christianity, yet from the very beginning there have been those who have doubted. They've doubted the fact that Jesus even came. They've doubted the fact that He came through a virgin birth. But I want you to know something right now. The explanation of the birth is not so much in the birth, it's in who was in the birth. It was the baby that was born, and that is Jesus Christ, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the one had been prophesied about. That would come, the one that Isaiah talked about, says, you know what? The burden of the whole government will be upon his shoulders. He'll have wisdom beyond. He'll be a counselor, an amazing counselor. And the one who was prophesied that would come, the Messiah, the anointed one, the Christ. And so when we think about what is so special about Christmas, I want you to know that he may have been born in a manger, but that's not where he started at. He didn't start. I know that it looks like that's where Jesus started at, but that's not where he started at. Remember, he was there when the foundations of the world were created. He was there when the stars in the universe were created, when all the planets that you see in the telescopes were created. He was there when that was all being formed. That's where he started at. He just chose to leave his place to come and be amongst us and to walk amongst us so that we would understand that he understands what we go through and when there's depression or when there's pain or when there's hurt, that we would understand that he felt the pain. He felt death. He knows what it is to lose somebody. He knows what it is to die himself. And so that when it comes to us, he would be able to relate to us. And we would see that. What a gift he gave us when he gave us our Savior. What kind of God dies for his own? Most people want to make something die for him. Before Jesus came, people shed blood and killed animals as a sacrifice. And then the ultimate happened. The Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world came and he laid his life down for us. Think about that for a minute. When we think about Christmas and about Jesus' birth and his mission, we can't just look at the manger and the little nativity scenes. We need to go beyond that. We need to realize that that manger and that cross go hand in hand. We need to realize that that little manger was the beginning of something that would explode into the future, that would change lives forever until he was choosing to come back. One of the biggest questions we all have is what is more important, Christmas or Easter? Well, I think the reason why people ask that is because that's the only time they really think about Jesus is during Easter and Christmas. Let me tell you something right now. Next week, this place will be packed out. Hopefully, if you do your job and you bring your friends and family. Well, we'd be packed, packed, beyond packed. Because Christmas, people come to church for Christmas. And our kids are going to do an amazing job. They've been rehearsing so hard. Please don't. Whatever you do, bring somebody. Bring your family. If you have an aunt and uncle that love your kids, come and bring them to watch your kids. Because they're going to fill this stage. The whole next Sunday is about them. I'm not even preaching next week. They're preaching. Their message is preaching. And I want you to know that they've been working hard. And the message that they have that they're going to give out is going to be a message of hope for the family, a message of hope for hurting people. But, you know, without Christmas, there would be no Easter. But they go hand in hand because Jesus was born to die. Jesus was born in that manger with the shadow of the cross laying over that manger. And one day he would carry his cross. It's a mistake to try to separate the two. Now, Jesus Christ may have been born in a humble manger to common parents, but I want you to know right now there was nothing common about what happened. In fact, it was a plan. It was the way God chose to do things. And people couldn't see it, but then you see some, like the shepherds in the field, that they saw something special was happening. They saw the wise men that we spoke about last week. They knew something big was happening, and they followed that star. And that's why wise men still follow the star. We celebrate his birth at Christmas, but the reason why he came is not so much so we could just celebrate his Christmas birth, but that we could celebrate the fact that he went to the cross and that he died on the cross. I know some of you are thinking, I just put out a subliminal message right there about that. Wise men still follow the cross. I can see it in you guys. Cowboy fans. I see it in you. I see a couple of you say, did he just talk about the Cowboys inadvertently through some? I think I did. Must be in my spirit or something. And they were talking about the Broncos last night and Scrooge. I'm like, what do the Broncos have to do with Scrooge? The fact is, does his coming into the world make a difference in your life? And will you allow his coming into this world, into that manger, use your life to make a difference in the lives of other people? Because if there was any ever greater time to be able to share about the love of God and to share about the message of the cross, message of the hope and plan of Jesus Christ, is during the Christmas season. That's why we have things like Scrooge. Because the gospel message in that message is so powerful and people are already, they're already acclimated to the story. I heard people from behind me saying, oh, that's Marley. I don't even know that was Marley. That's Marley and that's that person. That's the angel of the present. Because they know the story of Scrooge. So it makes it easy for us to be able to use that story to lead people to the cross. We need to connect the manger to the cross. We cannot allow the manger to sit alone. There's only one reason why he came. In verse 17 it says, he came into this world not to condemn it, but to save it. That means that God doesn't come to just put you down. The church is not here to judge you. The church is here to administer grace. The church is here to speak the message of grace and hope so that you might understand that we serve a loving God. Remember when I first got saved, I went right away to my drug connection. Yes, I had a drug connection. Oh, you have to talk about it? Yeah, I do got to talk about it because that's what I had. I went to him and I said, I want you to know something. I'm no longer the same. You'll never see me buying anything from you again. You'll never ever see me selling anything for you again. Let me tell you why. Because I want you to know the other day. And I began to testify and tell him about Jesus and what he did in my life and how my life's going to be changed. And I know God called me for a purpose. I don't know what it is yet, but one day I'm going to let you, you're going to see that God saved me for a purpose. and he just tripped out. This is what he said. The horns came out. And he says, oh, what kind of God puts his kids in an oven? That's the way he came at me. And I looked at him and I said, what kind of dummy jumps in the oven? Because if there's a hot fire, we jump in it ourselves. Has nothing to do. God didn't create. Let me give you some theological doctrine. God did not create hell for you. Not for one human being. Did you know that hell? The H-E-E-L-L and the hockey sticks? He didn't create hell for you and I. He created hell for the devil. It's the devil that wants to take you to hell. And so why in the world would you follow him, right? But can you imagine him telling me what kind of God puts his children in an oven? My goodness, I felt a demonic presence right there in such a way I'd never felt it before. And I just told him, I said, well, what kind of dummy does that? Jumps into the thing. You're the one jumping in, not me. I didn't come here to tell you about the oven. I came here to tell you about the love of Christ. I came here to let you know that I'm no longer a customer. There's only one reason why he came. He came to save Nikki Cruz. He came to save David Wilkerson, Pastor Sonny. And the list goes on and on and on and on and on and on. And he came to save you. And think about where your life would be. There are people in this room right now, because I know their personal stories. I don't speak out of place when I say this. I know there's men and women in this room that had they not got saved, when they got saved right now, they'd be in a cemetery someplace. Their cold body would be in a cemetery, and I don't know where their spirit would be. There's only one reason why that baby was born that night. And imagine, the world has rejected him all these years, but he was rejected that night too. Couldn't even find a place. Couldn't even have a warm little room to be born in. Had to settle for a cold manger under the smell of animals. He was born for the cross. He was born to die. He was born to shed his blood for an ultimate sacrifice. He was born that we could live. He came to the manger that night so that he might make his way down the street to Jerusalem from Bethlehem to the cross. A little voice might be telling you sometimes, God doesn't care about me. God doesn't care about what I go through. Victory Outreach don't care about what I go through. Christians don't care about what I go through, but I'm here to declare to you right now that God has every one of your hairs on your head counted. He knows exactly what you're going through, and he cares about you. In fact, he may be the only one sometimes that cares about you. Listen, I want you to know something right now, that we exist as believers, and we exist as a ministry to care for the lost, to save the lost, to bring the message of hope to people that are hopeless. And when the world rejects you, don't you worry about it. The world rejected Jesus Christ on the day of his birth, and they've rejected him ever since. Come on, somebody. But he's still, even when I rejected him, don't get me started there. When I rejected him in my sin and I didn't want nothing to do with him, I wanted Christmas without the Christ. Come on, somebody. I wanted MAS without Christian, without the Christ part of it. I enjoyed Christmas, but I didn't want nothing to do with Christ. That little baby's cry in the manger told us he does care for you. The devil's trying to lie to you, tell you he doesn't care for you. That God doesn't care for you. The church doesn't care for you. People don't care for you. See, and the grown Savior proved his love by dying for your sins. He existed, man, before the manger. He knew you before you were in your mother's womb. Jesus was born to die. Hebrews 9:22 says in the New King James Version, and according to the law, almost all things are purified with blood. Without shedding of blood, there is no remission. That word remission there It comes from the word ephemi, which means to send away. And it signifies a release from bondage or imprisonment or dismissal. It signifies forgiveness. And it adds the quality of canceling out all judgment and punishment, obligation, or debt. Imagine the debt Jesus paid. He came as a baby ready to pay your bill. He came as a baby ready to pay your bill. Making sure that the debt you owe, the debt I owe, would be paid in full at the cross. And that would solidify it powerfully on the third day when he rose from the dead. That's why we can't separate the manger from the cross. Again, I ask the question, does he make a difference in your life? If he has, then let your life be a light that shines. I thought about Pastor Sonny and Nikki again. I thought about how their light has been shining all these years. The year I was born is the year that Nikki got saved and got into the ministry. 1959. I thought to myself, wow, what a life. All he's ever done is preach the gospel of Jesus Christ his whole life. And he's still doing it with passion at the age of 80 years old. To see him and Pastor Sonny laugh after all these years, tell all the stories. Like I said, they were putting a new teen challenge in Chicago. I was part of the story, didn't finish it earlier. We were starting this thing, and they gave a car, donated a car to the ministry. They gave a car there. They were just setting up shop in Chicago. You were still young. And Nikki goes, you know, I don't know how to drive, Sonny. Pastor Sonny goes, well, brother, let's go drive. And he goes, well, what car? And he goes, I know what car. And they stole David Wilkerson's car. They were telling us this story. There was a few of us there sitting there. Remember the small birthday party for Nikki and Pastor Sonny's room the other night. And he says, we stole the car. He goes, and Nikki drove all over in the snow, all over. That's you know, boom, boom, boom. He learned in Chicago. We got back to the center, he says, and David Wilkerson was there fuming. He was red. I've had it with you guys, he said. I'm done with you guys. I've had it with you guys. Man, you guys are. He goes, but he had to love us. Because they were crazy. They had to be crazy to do what they've done. So when you look at people around you, say, man, this guy's crazy. Our pastor's crazy. We have to be crazy to do what we've done. And continue doing it. We need to connect the manger to the cross. Now, I want to share with you, I'm gonna get ready to land this. If you come to the keyboard. One of the best ways to know why Jesus came into the world is when we read John 3:16, which says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son. Christmas is about this. I know there's a lot that we hear about why Christmas and the wise men we talked about last week, and we talked about the shepherds in the field, and we talk a lot about Christmas, what it is and what it isn't, how it's so commercialized and all that stuff. Yes. It blows my mind how many people want to stand in line the day after Thanksgiving. Who in their right mind, after eating all day Thursday, wants to get up at 2 in the morning? You need your turkey beauty sleep at that time. But people do that, yet I have yet to find out people coming at 2 o'clock in the morning to stand in front of the church and be ready to come in and pray. Now you say, oh, that's getting judgmental. Well, I know. I had to throw a little something there. Just like, think about it. Nobody comes and stands at 6 in the morning and say, man, when are they coming, man? I got to get in there. No one could outdo what God has done. No one could give a greater gift than God has already given. See, Christmas means a lot of things to a lot of people and different people, but to me, it means something completely different sometimes. I think about, in Christmas, I think about my salvation more than ever. More than Easter. Because I know how my Christmases used to be. My Christmases were just about getting some gifts. They were superficial. They had nothing to do with God. And now, for the last 30 years, my Christmases have been extremely emotional for me. Because I look into the eyes of my children and the eyes of my grandchildren. I see not so much the glitter of their eyes for the gift, but the glitter of their eyes of hope that they get to know their grandfather. That their grandfather didn't die of an overdose, a drug deal, a shooting, or go to prison. And my eyes tear over many times during Christmas when I think about what God has done. I am so grateful. For some, it's for shopping and spending and eating and family and traveling. Those are great things, good things. But the message that we should give is this. To me, Christmas is number one, is a time of remembering. It helps me to remember, man. It brings me back to what is really, to the ground, to what's important. Remember the great love that God has for us. The great grace. I think of the grace that God's had in my life. And I want you to know that if it were not for grace, I don't know where we'd be. Thank God for His grace. I know you got problems and maybe you have questions, but get rid of that stuff. Get rid of those questions and say, God, I just want to trust you. If you really think about it, the beef you have with God and the beef you have with the church doesn't compare to the goodness that God has for you. So you focus on the goodness of God and all that stuff, that junk that doesn't belong in your life, you can get rid of it for once and for all. Huh? It's a time not just to remember for ourselves, but it's a time for us to remind people at work to be the light, not to be a thorn in somebody's side, but to be a loving message. And sometimes love is a thorn. Remember this week, this whole past week has been about remembering for me. Christmas, being with Pastor Andy and Nikki and hearing them and hearing the messages, these powerful messages at this conference, it has caused me to remember. And I wanted to come and remind you why Christmas is so important. Secondly, to me, it is a time of loving. It's a time where me and my family, we don't get to see each other every day. We're very, very busy. My children are very busy. My grandchildren are so busy with all kinds of things going on. But during the Christmas season, we grab together and we love on each other. And during the time, the leaders the other night, we were here the other night for a Christmas party, our leaders in our church, and we just loved on each other. We had a blast. And last night, our families came. Tonight, we're going to love on the homes. 4 o'clock, maybe you come early. Come on, let's come serve. They serve you guys. They set the chairs up, you don't. They set the tables up, you don't. Come on, let's set up stuff for them. In fact, right after service, we need to do that. But we want to love. It's a time for loving. People make special effort to be a little kinder, if you notice. A little more considerate. A little more generous. APD is collecting toys for our Warm and Fuzzy right now. They're going to go out with us next Sunday. They're going to be with us handing out gifts. So the community can see that they're not just there to arrest Dad. Because Dad beat your mom. He's there. They're there to let you know that they're there to serve. It's a time for reaching out with others with love. That's what we've been reaching out all year. But now during Christmas, it's our time. Next Sunday is going to be the service where we really pour out God's love and share God's love. You know what? The best way to do that is to the children. There's no greater than pure love from a kid's heart that talks about the message of hope. But we should love like He loves. That's what it is for me. The thirdly, and I got one more, and it's a time of giving. It's a time to give. The Bible says, for God so loved the world that He gave. We ought to be willing to give. And I tell you right now, sitting amongst you are some of those generous people I know on earth. We have a generous church. We have people in this church that give relentlessly. They give their lives, their talents, their finances, so that our church will be the best church it can be. Why don't you join those ranks? Give your gifts to God. I talked about this last week. So end the year good. Say, you know what? I'm gonna start being a giver. Give your life, give your talents. People need you. People in your neighborhood need you. They need the hope that you carry. You carry the hope in your heart. And when you don't give it out, you hold on to it yourself. I'll tell you right now, that's the way to douse your fire. When you give out your fire, it gives you more fire. Huh? There's no way you can look at the hurting and not want to give. There's no reason to know. Listen, once I told my daughters what we were doing about the about the socks? He said, those kids don't have any socks. And some of them started putting tear things on their things. No socks. God, my drawers are full of socks. My kids have all kinds of socks. I'm going to go buy socks. And then one of my daughters said, hey, they're having a sale at Target. And she has a huge bag of socks she bought. She's going to bring them. I'm like, all you have to do is take a look at the need. And love should propel you to do something about the need. I heard that in Shenandoah earlier. You know, I just burned for my city, burned to help my pastors. Burned, why? Because he went out there and he saw it's a little different in Chicago. Because the need is on steroids there. There's millions of people in those cities that are, it's condensed with need everywhere. Here it's a little more spread out. God gave his all. We should give our all. Victory Outreach was raised up to give the gift of salvation to the inner cities of the world. We've been called to give the gift of life. That takes being out there, evangelism, and discipling people, and loving people. And lastly, it's a time of forgiving. It's a time to find your forgiveness. It's a time to hand out some forgiveness once and for all. Jesus was willing to forgive us. He was willing to show mercy to a sinful, lost man like myself. I ought to do the same for others. So the question is that little baby in the manger done anything for you? If he has, then you know what I'm talking about. What difference has he made in your life? What difference are you going to let him use your life to make? Remember, the manger, you cannot separate it from the cross. Because it was in that little manger that prepared our Savior for his journey to the cross. That journey to the cross would change everything. We deserved death, but he gave us life. We deserved it because of our sin, yet he came and paid a price he didn't have to pay, but he paid it. And he paid it for you and for me. This morning, I'm going to make an altar call this morning for those of you. See, I need that grace. Don't forget why he came. He came to love you. He came to save you. He didn't come to condemn you. Victory Outreach isn't here to condemn you. And Victory Outreach comes here with the message and the plan of hope to hand it to you and say, Jesus Christ loves you. God has a plan for you. God wants to change everything for your future. God has a plan, but you have to step into the plan. There's something captivating about a baby that's born. Everybody's hanging around Elena right now. Or like Devin says, Elena. I'm not sure where he comes from, El Paso. I mean, I think he would have the strongest accent. That baby's like messing with all our heads, man. Like, oh, everybody has to hold her. You know? Think about Jesus. Not everybody would want to hold Jesus. In fact, Herod wanted to kill Jesus. Once he found out, he wanted to kill him. Rejection in the womb. Rejection from day one. Rejection in the manger. Rejection as he grew up. They even had to flee to Egypt. Thank God for the wise men that came and brought up a nice pot of gold so they could have plenty of money to get to Egypt to take care of business. This Jesus business is big. It's not something that just Sunday's big. It's big, big, big every day, every night. God has a plan. He always had a plan. I didn't see that plan until that one day my eyes were open on that cold Thanksgiving morning. And I want you to know he has a plan for you here today. You might be the only one in this room that feels like I'm just talking to you, but I've been there before. I'm talking to everybody. It's not just you. You might be the one that says, you know what? How do I get what you're talking about? That's what I want you to do. This morning, I want every head to be bowed. I don't want anybody looking around. And I want you to think about the question I asked. Has this baby in a manger and his destiny to the cross changed you? If it hasn't yet, then I want to offer that change to you. See, we serve a God that loves us, not a God of convenience, but a God that we need every single moment of our lives. When we look at Jesus, We can't just see him as a baby in a manger. We got to look at him as a Savior on the cross and a resurrected Savior out of the tomb. There's never been another like Jesus. No one can save your life. Buddha did not get raised from the dead. Mohammed did not get raised from the dead. They're in graves. They can save nobody. They couldn't save themselves. They'll never save anybody. The only one that has died and rose from the dead that saves not only did his life be resurrected, but he resurrected so that you might live, and that's Jesus Christ. I pray you're captivated by the story of Jesus' love for you, that it was so great that he was willing to leave heaven, and come be born under adverse circumstances in a manger, make his way to a cross when he was a young age of 33 years old and die a humiliating death and shed his blood so that you could have life everlasting. If you're here this morning, you say, Pastor, I need forgiveness of my sins. I need salvation. I need change. Then you're in the right place this morning, because that's exactly the message we've preached. Message that God can save and change anybody's life. And if he can change me, he can change you. If that's you here this morning, say, Pastor, would you pray for me? I need Jesus. I don't know him. I want him. Or if this morning you say, Pastor, I know the Lord, but I've been running from him and I haven't been serving him, and I want to come back to Jesus. If that's you here this morning, I want you to lift your hand right where you're at real quickly. I just want to pray for you. Bless you. Bless you. See your hand. You can put it down. Anybody else? I really need a change. Anyone else? I need that change. You can just lift that hand. I can see where you're at. So I can pray for you. Bless you. See your hand. Anybody else? I see that hand. You can put it down. Anyone else? Real quick. This is what I'm going to ask you to do. One more thing. While every head bowed, I want you to, if you raise your hand, I want you to stand to your feet real quick. Just stand. Don't hesitate. If you lifted your hand, then stand to your feet. Anyone else? Real quick. This is Matt. You're talking right to me. I'm going to ask everybody to stand. Everybody together. If Christmas has been a bummer for you, if Christmas has been something that has not a happy time or a bad memory for you, then this year let's make things different. First of all, those of you that raised your hands, I'm going to pray for you in just a moment. But I suspect that there are many people here this morning that Christmas is not the best time of year for you. Christmas is a time where you think it's commercialized and you think, you know what, there's a lot of problems that happen during Christmas when you change a heart. I'm almost like the Scrooge story. And you say, I want to change a heart. I want to start seeing Christmas for what it is, not for what I felt. I want to start looking at Christmas like a time of opportunity for my family and for loved ones and for friends and for people to show God's love instead of clamming up and having that pain in my heart. This is what I want to do. I'm gonna ask them to sing this song. And as they sing this song, I'm gonna open up this altar. And I'm gonna call first those of you that lifted your hand and said, I wanna give my life to Jesus. I want you to step out of your seat real quickly. I want you to come and I want you to meet me right here at this altar. And I want to pray with you. And those of you that say, Pastor, I want to break through this Christmas. I want to be a light this Christmas. I now know why I was saved. I know why God changed my life. And I want to answer the call. I want to answer the call to be able to use what God has given me by giving me a baby in a manger, yet who went to the cross and saved my life. I want to be that one that you use, oh God. That I can be a light that shines in a dark world. That I can be that person that God, people will be able to look at. And they'll be able to see, oh, this is what Christmas is about. This is what Jesus is about. I want to challenge you to answer the call of God this morning. I want to challenge you to answer the fact that God called you out of darkness to make you a marvelous light. That when he asked you for your heart, it was so that you could fill it up with his love. And so when he fills it up with his love, Oh, you can pour it out. Pour it out. You can pour it out to others. You can pour it out to your community. You can pour it out to your neighbors. You can pour it out to your family. You can pour it out to your co-workers. You can pour it out to those that are hard to love. God says, I want to use you. I want my love to shine through you. Oh, how great!